Welcome to The Left Brain Artist. On this podcast, I talk with artists about their artwork and their business. I'm Suzanne Redman, and today's artist is Nicole Galluccio. Originally from New Jersey, she entered college to study biochemistry with the hope of becoming a doctor. Despite being awarded a chemistry scholarship, her teacher thought she had a great talent in illustration. Well, the medical world's loss is the art world's gain, as Nicole has developed a unique style of acrylic paintings using dozens of bold colors with a pop art feel. This is Nicole Galluccio.
Hi, Nicole. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You are a acrylic painter, and you make amazing art. What would you call the style that your art is in?
Well, thank you. I always like to consider my work a pop illustrative style, but it's really unique to me, so it's hard to pigeonhole it into one. I do so many varying things within my work as far as layering and mixed media, primarily acrylic-based products, but I've definitely been adding in a lot of mediums, gel mediums, etc. into the work for the past year.
Yeah, I've really seen it change in the last year or so. But let's start with, how did you get started with art? Were you doing art when you were young?
Oh yeah, from the time I was probably about 5, I started drawing, mostly copying cartoons and things like that, and always illustrative things.
Okay.
I remember olive oil. I had this drawing of olive oil that my dad thought was so good that he had it up in his, hair salon on the board forever, and I remember being a teenager, like, oh god. But it had to be from when I was about 5 or 6.
So it didn't make you so much proud as it kind of embarrassed you since you were a teenager then?
Well, yeah, it was.
I
guess it was good for the age, but I would look at it and go, you know, I had improved, I guess, so much by then that I saw the innocence, really, now would probably like it more. Because it's so free and less guided by worry of technical perfection, things like that I think come about when you're older.
Oh, that's nice. Did you take art classes when you got into middle school and high school?
Never.
Never.
It was really always something that I just did on my own as a hobby. I went to Catholic school, so there wasn't really much of an art program. However, when I went to high school, I went to a really great private school in New Jersey called Red Bank Catholic that you had to take an entrance exam to get into, and it was very fast-tracking to college. Everyone went to college, and that's all that I really hoped for. At that point, going to the school, they had 2 tracks. One was for art and one was for science. And the day that I went for my entrance exam, I chose a science path. From the time that I was 10, I wanted to be a doctor. And art was just something that I really enjoyed. And of course, you always hear you'll never make any money as an artist and starving artists
right.
and all this. So it's a deterrent to a kid.
Sure.
Really,
yeah.
Yeah, and I ended up going to college pre-med.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
I did stick with science all through high school, but I remember really clearly when they do in your senior yearbook, the senior superlatives, most artistic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I did not get that because nobody knew I was an artist. And I felt this, like, tinge inside me for sure of jealousy. You know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And I very distinctly remember that feeling. And I remember, you know, being in school going, well, this is, you know, what I'll do. And maybe when I'm older, I can be an artist when I retire from my medical profession.
So what kind of art were you doing at home? And did you show other people, or did you enter contests or anything like that?
No, I mean, I wasn't really aware of all that. This is pre the internet. Okay. So, you know,
yeah.
I was born in the 70s. So, you know, we didn't have luxury that a lot of kids have today where they can know about all that type of stuff. I was always drawing, and I always had friends say, oh, wow, I wish I could draw as well as you. And I didn't really think that it was anything great, but they had me doing illustrations for their projects and things just for fun. But when I was in high school, I started making jewelry, beading and all kinds of stuff like that. And I really enjoyed that. And I sold a lot of my work to classmates. So...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was kind of entrepreneurial in that aspect in high school. And I still do a little bit of that more for fun when I have time. I don't have as much time anymore for the jewelry as I'd like to.
Yeah, yeah. So at what point when you were in college did you, or was it after college, where you said, okay, I want to do art and not be a doctor?
No, it all happened about three quarters into my college career. I was pre-med. I was hell-bent on being a trauma surgeon. I know, right? I know.
That's major.
Right? It's completely, totally different from my life now, and I can't imagine doing it, but I do have an interest still in it. I get a little bit too excited about medical procedures still. But I was on a scholarship for science.
And
then I earned a chemistry scholarship while I was there, and I was working in the bio lab and the greenhouse, and I was doing extracurricular research and things while I was there in the field of biochemistry. So I was really intrigued with what I was doing. However, when I would draw slides of single-celled organisms, my slides, according to my bio professor, were perfection. So she pulled me aside. Yeah, she pulled me aside one day, and she gave me books on biomedical illustration. And she said to me, point blank, are you hell-bent on being a doctor? And I said, why?
Oh, wow. So she's saying this to somebody who's so good in science that you're winning scholarships, and yet she's saying the art is surpassing the science, essentially. Wow.
Yeah. And she gave us this task to do, one of our projects. We had to do a timeline from the Big Bang Theory all through present, and just major moments in the history of time.
Wow.
Right?
What was that, 30 feet long timeline?
Well, that's the thing. People didn't do it like I did it. See how you're saying it? That's exactly how I did it. So I bought a scroll of this paper, and I did this outline of illustration and did it in watercolor. It was awesome, to be honest. I love it. I wish I could still see it, but she framed it. And she said, Nicole, this is your gift. She said, this is your gift. I really wish you would reconsider. She was gunning for me to go to school for bio illustration. So anyway, I continued on, long story short, it was always in the back of my head. I continued on my path, and my parents moved to Florida, South Florida, mid-sophomore year. And my mother was missing us. My older brother went into the military, and the only one down here was my younger brother with them. So it was a really big change for our family, and my mom really wanted me to move down here. And now as a mom, I totally understand. It's really hard for your family to be apart when you, I was commuting to school. It was only 20 minutes away from my house. I moved into the dorm, and I was there for about 6 months, and I transferred to FAU that summer. So.
Oh, okay. Florida Atlantic came to Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Boca campus.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't what it is now. There's, like, I don't even know how many students now. But as an art, well, okay, I started as a biochem major there. I just transferred over and I said, okay, let's see how this goes. Well, I went from a class five. I was going to a small liberal arts, all girls private Catholic university in New Jersey on scholarship. So,
oh. What was that called?
Georgian Court University.
Okay.
In Lakewood, New Jersey. It's an amazing campus. If you ever get a chance to go up there, it's absolutely beautiful. It's on the lake, and it's all wrought iron gates and big marble statues. It was a rich man's estate that he willed to the Franciscan nuns.
Oh, how nice. Yeah, I bet it was beautiful.
Haunted. It's haunted. It's really weird.
It's haunted? Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah, it's haunted. Oh, it's haunted. The wife died on the campus. She was dieting and was wearing like one of those, what do you call it, those foil suits or something, playing golf.
Oh, yeah, the sweatsuits, yeah.
Yes. Well, she died from that.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Isn't that crazy? Jeez. So
supportive. It is.
So off topic, but it was an experience. I loved the school. I met some amazing people that I'm still friends with. My dearest friend I met there, and we were only a half hour away from New York City. So with that said, I spent a lot of time with some really cool people in the heart of New York City in the 90s, and a lot of the art school students from New York hung out at the clubs that I did. So what I got to see and was exposed to was truly amazing in terms of artistic creativity on a whole other level that a lot of people don't get to see in their lifetime. These kids, it was amazing. They were coming from the Fashion Institute. They would do these outrageous costumes. Basically, they were doing themselves, and this was what their chance to express themselves outside of school. And I'm sure they got jobs too from that exposure. It was a great environment.
Right.
It was a little weird. It was definitely weird and crazy and But the memories.
But you suddenly realized it's okay to be weird.
Yeah.
And be artistic the part.
I was totally thriving amongst the weirdos. I enjoyed it thoroughly. and I really didn't fit in at that school. I was definitely the weirdo of the school.
You came to Boca Raton. I cannot imagine that it was that artistic. Back then.
You can't even. The first 8 months were pure torture. I didn't know what was going on, what I was doing. But I met some great people. I took a job at Publix, and a lot of the kids went to FAU, so I made some great friends. A lot of them I'm still friends with. And it was fine. I ended up really, finding my niche here. And But again, I wasn't exposed to the arts as much as I was up north. And there wasn't as much access to museums and things like that. I hadn't quite yet discovered Miami. But then quickly, I found my way down to South Beach, and that was still pretty amazing. It was only the late 90s, so things were still a little artsy and way more a little better kept secret, should I say, and not so commercialized.
I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a totally different time down there too, but it was fun. It was really fun. So I was getting a little bit of that. And then I decided mid-junior year, after I was exposed to a semester of 200 students per class in my science classes, and I learned nothing. I learned absolutely nothing. It was too much. It was too much of a culture shock, a change in the dynamic. It just didn't sit well with me. It was the change came too quickly. I wasn't around my friends. I knew no one. Ultimately, in hindsight, I wish I had taken a semester off and kind of found my way and then went back. But I still wouldn't have been prepared for the academic change, going from 8 to 10 students per class to 200 and 3 lab partners, and it was just not what I was envisioning. So I had to really step back and think about what I wanted to do. So that next semester, I took one class, painting one. I said, I want to try this paint.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd never picked up a paintbrush in my life.
Obviously, because you had done all drawing, illustration.
Right. And okay. I was like, let me try this. Let me really, but you're really not supposed to do that, apparently. You're supposed to take drawing one and two, and you're supposed to streamline it. But I was like, no, I'm going to totally break all the rules and take a risk here and just take this one class, and then I'll do some summer courses and make up for any lost time. And what's the difference if I have to take an extra year of college? You're so young, and it's like, and I'm really glad.
Well, good.
Right. Mm-hmm. It sorted things out for me. I knew immediately after taking painting one that this was my path, that art is my passion. It was truly inside me. The grades came easily. That wasn't a worry of mine. I was in the studio all night, some nights, just because I loved it. The work was not work. Still, the work is.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
It's still
yeah.
those things.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how you know. But again, you know, that takes doing to see and to know, and that's what I had to do at that time to really figure out what my path was and not worry about what, you know, my parents wanted me to do or what my,
mm-hmm.
you know, what my original plan was. You can stop that. You can take a risk and change things. It's not like you lose that education either, because it does come into play. Everything you've learned
yeah.
in your life comes into play.
Right, but, you know, some people, it takes them 20, 25 years to discover what you did in the middle of your college career. That's fantastic.
Yeah, but I wasn't a working artist until the last 5 years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I know. So I graduated in 98 from FAU with my bachelor's in fine art with a focus on studio art / painting. And I had a minor in biochemistry.
So okay. All right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and so did you still have thoughts of possibly going into bioillustration at that point?
Yeah, because I was researching where there were master's programs for it. And at the time,
okay.
I don't know about now, but at the time, there were only two, and one was at Johns Hopkins, and another one was at University of Michigan. So I'm going, all right, Michigan's way colder, so I guess it's going to be Johns Hopkins. So I'm looking at their application, and yeah, that's how I decide things now, living in Florida, which area
yeah.
I can handle without freezing to death. So
right, the girl from New Jersey can't handle the cold anymore.
I can't. I tell my friends in New Jersey, I can only come there between May and October. Unless,
yeah.
of course, if there's any detrimental reason that I need to go up there, God forbid.
Right.
But no,
right.
That summer is preferable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
So you looked into Johns Hopkins then?
I did, and they only accepted 4 students internationally per year. And I said, "Oh God,
Oh wow!"
So I didn't even try, which I hate myself for now. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
you can't affect, you know, your path is your path. I can't. I have no regrets.
Right.
I'm super
right.
happy. Where I am and doing what I am daily now, so I don't have any regrets about my path being what it is, because I think that's how it goes. It's
yeah,
like you
okay.
really have to learn yourself and what you want, and it just wasn't right for me at the time. And I was
mm-hmm.
also making a lot of money in corporate America. I hate to say it. I went into the corporate world immediately
okay.
outside of college because I was like, what am I going to do? I have an art degree. My mom was right. I'm never going to make a living. And I'll say this.
Was it a science-related job or corporation?
No, not at all.
No, not at all. Okay.
It was just a money-related job.
Okay.
It was a, oh, shit, I have to make some money. What am I going to do? I don't
yeah.
live at home. I have rent
yeah.
to pay. I was
mm-hmm.
working as a nanny all through college, so I was getting great pay doing that, and I was able to afford my apartment. And then, you know, they knew I was graduating, so they were like, well, we know you're going to want to move on. And I was like, oh no. So then I had to kind of find a big girl job, and it was like, all right, I'm not going to do this permanently. And then I ended up getting a really great job in a corporation where I was running their newsletter, doing creative writing, so it was definitely.
Did you do graphic design too?
On that level at that time, yes.
Okay.
It was 1997. I mean,
so maybe you use publisher or I'm trying to think right. something. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I use. So things yeah. aren't, you know, I'm sure they were good, but it was hard to get that knowledge so easily at the time. You know, not mm-hmm. like it is now where you can go take a free class at the local high school or a cheap class
or on Twitter. Or watch a YouTube video. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids don't even know what they've got at their fingertips right now. I mean, I utilize yeah. all that stuff now for.
Oh, me too.
Especially with. Yeah. Especially when I'm not sure about a medium that I'm about to use. Instead of making a mistake, you're always going to the first time. But learning a little bit about the product before I use it, I always go to YouTube to see if people have used it. And believe me, they have. And I see
yeah,
how
I,
they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's important, especially even in fabrication. If I'm not well studied in building, but everything's on there. So if you can make something,
yeah.
it's really
mm-hmm.
simple.
Yeah,
cheaper to do it yourself. I'm all about the DIY.
Right,
anyway.
Right, yeah, definitely cheaper. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So you were corporate. Did you stick with one company for a few years?
Yes, I stayed with a financial company for 8 years. They were super good to me, and I made a lot of wonderful friends and colleagues that
mm-hmm.
I still connect with and keep in touch with. I don't think you lose that. You know, there are a lot of elements in business that have served me well that I didn't think at the time would.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's the professionalism, it's the organization, it's the administrative tasks of running your own business when you're an artist. Oh, yeah.
Well, at the time, you know, I didn't really see it as that. It was just kind of a job, and then I got married. And it allowed me to have a child with really good insurance. And I know
mm-hmm.
it's hard to, you can't take those things for granted. That those experiences were meant to happen when they were. And I was able to buy
yeah.
a home. There were things that I probably wouldn't have been able to do, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Or wouldn't have done in my life out of fear of not having the finances to do so. And now I'm grateful. I love my kids. You know, they're my world. So,
of course, yeah.
A lot of my work, and a lot of my work
yeah.
is very kid. All of my work is kid friendly. I have a lot of kids that gravitate to my work because it's meant to
yeah.
bring joy, positivity, and it's got a lot of innocence in it in that way, and is whimsical.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and I've seen where you take little videos of your youngest son painting, and I'm sure you get inspired by just he. How old is he now? He's
five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you get inspired
five.
Just by the freedom, the freeness that a child yeah. does when he has a paintbrush. You know, we
Absolutely.
Tend to forget that and we're not as free, but you support your children and doing whatever they want to do and splashing paint all over things, and I bet that that's inspirational too. And a mess sometimes, but inspirational.
You put a drop
yeah.
down. I put
right.
him he's in underwear on a drop cloth. And then all I have to do
right.
is throw him in the shower. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
And he loves it. But I also,
yeah.
he loves sculpting out of Play-Doh. There's so many things
yeah.
that kids can do. There's so many great ideas on Pinterest and YouTube for easy projects. And it's so accessible
yeah.
now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
My older son tried, but he never really had an interest in the arts. He's into surfing and water stuff. That's his.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but my younger
maybe
one
he'll...
really has a gift.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. I feel like I've seen the gift just when I was watching him as a 3-year-old playing with paint. Yeah, well, maybe your older one will go on the science path too. Maybe he'll. Say I want to be a marine biologist or something.
I doubt it. He hates science. He hates.
Oh,
science.
Does he?
He loves math. I wish he would be an accountant or something. That would be helpful.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I always say to artists, take the accounting 101. Just take the first
right?
class, and that will tell you what you need to know about your assets and your liabilities and your income and how to keep track of everything. because that's all you need to do. You need to be able to keep track of it, know enough about it that if you do hire an accountant to do your taxes and some higher level things for you, you'll know enough so that they won't rip you off. Not the kind of thing that accountants tend to rip you off, but you do need to know what you're doing. Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of questions.
So, you worked in this job. At what point did you start painting before you left the corporate job?
I was always painting. I always had a...
You were always, okay.
Yeah, I always had a home studio. I was working a lot. Actually, when I was on maternity leave with Scott, my older son, so he's 13 now, I started the first few pieces that included the paper background.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
I have some work that I did in college where I used newspaper, but it's falling apart because I used newspaper. So I remember that.
Newspaper. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, I have to think a little bit more logically and what I want to do with this. And the whole idea was to create some depth with the black and white, the starkness of the black and white juxtaposed against the color. That's all I was looking for. That's what I was seeing in my head. And so I think the first piece that I did from that series was Media Frenzy. And that's the one that has, it's like a color, the first time I used a color gradient too. Wow, I'm thinking
okay.
A lot of these things are coming back into my work because that I'm using a lot in the mandalas. Like the color switch from like a dark color.
You had one I looked at recently and I think you had 5 or 6 different shades of purple just on one flower.
Yeah. I love that. The transition. I don't know what it is about that, but I'm really doing it a lot. It's a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but I like it. I like the way that it looks. I love the end
result. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But and that piece, those original pieces that I did that was 2005 are up in Cafe Centro in Northwood right now.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah, indefinitely. So if you
ever
want some of my earlier work, it's all up. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a retrospective. So.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely have to go see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun, and I like that restaurant. They're amazing, and they always have and fun music. I think it's like Friday nights, and Northwood's great for art anyway.
Right. But your paintings are so vibrant, and that's a vibrant restaurant, so that's a great setting for them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And were they flowers back then when you first started? Was flowers your subject?
No. The original was really more of a comic illustration. I had done 6 pieces prior to that that were a comic series, 6 fairly large pieces that were all in comic series. They have no paper, and they're all just color-based and nostalgia-based on basically comic book illustration. I was trying to find my style, and I was like, all right, I want to work through this idea. I have a couple of those in my studio just stored away, but most of them are gone. But it was something, it was a means for me to get from A to B. Okay. I had lost track of, I hadn't painted in years, probably about 5 years. And I needed to get back on a path of painting. So I said, let me explore some ideas. I love illustration. I love comic illustration. I don't read them just because I'm a little ADD with that. I can't sit there and read them, but I really always loved the graphics and the way the illustrations were done in comics. And I have a decent collection since I don't read them, but I do like to look at the art. And really that's where this series spawned from. And the last piece of it and the first piece that included the paper was an offshoot of that, and it's called Media Frenzy. And basically, it's a bubble text that says ARG with a bunch of H's, and it has a ton of media tabloid clips from New York Post. And the idea was like how the media sensationalizes everything, and it's such a frenzy to get these photos of celebrities and this basically bullshit that people idolize in our society. That was the start of it. And then it spawned off into, I was really, I just liked that whole illustrative style, and even got a little influenced by Harajuku and the whole Japanese illustrative side as well. And I did the first two fruits. I did a strawberry and an orange, and those are up at Centro also.
So, oh, okay. I think maybe I've seen those. Yeah.
So those spawned the fruit thing, and that's never really gone away because it's just so vibrant. Fruits and flowers to me are life. It's a sign of life. It's a sign of there's nothing that's not positive to look at. The vibrant colors from nature, you know, that's there for a reason. It's meant to really bring us joy, is my feeling.
Right.
And when I paint in that, obviously I do an overemphasized, crazy, vibrant version of it, but it's you know, to bring that out in what you're looking at. Get people to really look at it and to feel something positive.
You're using colors on the neon spectrum too. Very bright. So that was, you said when you were on maternity leave, you really started painting and you did series so you could really develop your style.
Yeah.
At what point did you, were you showing them or selling them, or when did the public first get to see your artwork?
Okay, so that series was what made me really actually finally have some confidence in my work enough to show it. And I entered a show that winter through the Boca Museum of Art Artist Guild. And they accepted both of my pieces that I entered, and I was floored. I was so excited, and that feeling, that rush, that feeling, I had never felt that, and that's it. After that, I was like, wow, you know, I need to be doing this. So that was the first time I had work in a show, and I continued on the series, and I did more work through the years, but I was working in corporate America and
raising a son.
I was painting here and there, but not as much as I do obviously now. It would take me some 4 months to finish a piece then. Now it's on a big piece, a 3-week turnaround, on a large piece. So you know what I mean? Whereas that would have taken me 6 to 8 months. But so anyway, I veered off. I was painting a little bit here and there, and I took another job. I left my old job, and I took another job in corporate, and I was painting while I was there, but I was very focused on this job. I was there for 3 years from to the date. I started April 11th, 2011, and I left April 11th, 2014. And so with this company, I was basically in business development, recruiting, marketing, promotions. Every day I went to lunch with our CEO, my VP, and all of our sales guys. It was a very male-dominant industry. In those 3 years, the amount that I learned is untouchable. I still... I'm so thankful for that job because I thought in hindsight, oh my God, you know, here I am. But it was such good money. I couldn't turn it down. And I wanted to have another child. And that's just how it goes. You know, a lot of people take different paths. I can't say what's right for one is right for another. But in hindsight,
everything you did got to where you are today.
Yeah, for sure. Led me to this moment. I thought, don't get me wrong. It was really hard. I was not internally happy. I was never deep down really happy with what I was doing. But that last job, I was very content with. It was flexible. They were very understanding about me being a mom. I did well at my job. I learned a lot there. I really sucked it all up and took it all in, and we did really well, and the company sold to a competitor, a local guy who started this company, and he sold to a competitor for in the $500 million range. So,
oh boy.
Life's good for him, but in that, I will say this. He started with almost nothing. Very little. Out of his garage, the same old story, and he grew his business.
So the entrepreneurial. Yeah.
Yes. Why mm-hmm. can't I do that? And we had a lot in common, and I listened to everything that he had to say at every executive meeting, and I took a lot in, and I learned a lot about good business. Because everything they did there was good business. They were very morally and ethically on the straight and narrow, and we talked openly about things and what's right to do and what, you know what I mean? And I really took that in, and
That's invaluable.
Absolutely. And I didn't think at the time when I left, what am I going to do with all of this and how am I going to do this? But I knew a year in advance that they were selling, so I started preparing myself. And it just so happened at that time that I met someone, this woman, Kareem. She used to run this great restaurant, it's not there anymore, in downtown Lake Worth called South Shores Tavern. And she was the GM, and she was an artist. She went to Boston University, I think. And she had an art degree, so she really had a passion for art and artists. And she wanted to create like a live painting kind of vibe, so she asked me if I would live paint. And I got so nervous, but I said yes. And in that moment...
Well, good for you for saying yes.
I was so... Right, but in that moment I decided I was going to say yes to everything because it was so much fun.
Good strategy.
And I developed such a good confidence in doing it and speaking to people while I was working and getting, you know, the public's feeling on my work, and that is really catalyzing for an artist. So the more you stay behind the scenes and don't show people your work, it's really not beneficial to your growth. It's hard to put yourself out there. I was very afraid for many years, but I'm glad that I did, because had I not done that, I wouldn't have had the confidence to really put all of my efforts into this and say, this is it. I have a game plan, and I believe in the 10,000 hours rule. That you have to work every day at your craft. You have to hone it. You can't be doing 10 different things. You have to say, this is the thing. This is my thing that I'm most passionate about. This is my thing that I have to really put all of it into it, all of myself into this, and all of the things I've learned. And I did. Yeah, and I applied for a show at the Armory. It was a 50-50 show. I think it was the first year that they did it.
Okay.
And I was accepted, and I was so excited, and I did it, and someone bought my work, and I said, what the heck?
Awesome.
Yeah. And I was
my work will be hanging in their house. That's great.
Yeah. And I had sold paintings before, but it wasn't like that. There was something about this time in my life. I can't explain it, that I said, this is what I need to be doing. So I started entering every show.
And just to point out, the 50-50 show was live painting too, just like you had done for the other woman.
But it was my first timed thing that I had to do. I was so nervous, and I had like a timer, and I was still rushing at the end. So again, that's another thing that comes with painting every day and or drawing, whatever your skill is. But for me, painting every day, I learned to be much more efficient, but I know my products better. I know everything that I'm going to do. There's so much knowledge in experience and being self-motivated and autonomous in your work. That's
great. Yeah. Yeah. So then you just started applying at other shows around town.
Yeah.
And you were still working for the corporation?
I was still working for them. I started live painting in August of 2013. So I started then, and I met a lot of other artists that I started with. Julia Longwell, Steve Browse.
Yeah.
Bjorn Davison, I'm trying to think of who else I worked with. A lot of great artists, and we all just kind of connected, and they were really good about sharing info, and hey, do you know this person? Do you know that person? And I was like, I know nothing. So it was Bjorn that said to me, you know, I really love your work, and you have promise. And I was like, what? Thank you. And he's like, what are you doing? And I told him about my day job. And he's like, I get it. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard. It's definitely not an easy path. But if it's your path, you better show people it's your path. You better do it, like, gung-ho. You better go gangbuster this thing. Because, like, this is it. You get one shot. That's all I'm saying. That, for me, that's how I saw it. And I said, no. I have energy now. I'm probably not going to have energy in 15 years to hustle this, so let's do this. Like, let's really put all of it into this. I was getting a lot of positive feedback, and with that, I felt I owed it to myself to really pursue it. Like, I've been making money for other people for how many years in sales and business development?
Right.
Well, I want to put that development into myself.
Yeah, and but it was because you got encouragement. Yeah, and you wouldn't have gotten the encouragement if you hadn't gone out there and entered shows and met these other artists. If you were just painting and hanging them on your own walls, or giving one to your parents and giving one to your neighbor, and you were getting art out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Family can say all they want. Oh, you look at the way I see it is this. I say, oh, please, these contestants on American Idol, their parents probably tell them, oh, my gosh, you're the most amazing singer. So it's like, yeah. Everyone's going to tell you you're good at something. I had a healthy dose of skepticism about it, you know, but I was like,
yeah, you do,
but that doesn't,
you do need to get the strangers to like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's who's going to buy it. You know, you want strangers. Your friends can buy work too, of course, but you need strangers to, I hate to say it, to give you that validation. That it's the public. It's really those are the people that are going to be buying your work, and that's where it's going to be seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a thought out transition. It was a year in advance, and I said, this is what I want to do. So I carefully and viciously sought after these means to expose myself, my work, and really get some feedback and start a path in the right direction before I left my job.
Because that was so smart.
Well, we weren't selling. We weren't allowed to do anything, so I was bored out of my mind. I
sit
all day doing nothing, so I started talking to my boss about promotions, and he was really good at that. That was his niche, was marketing. And I really worked with him in terms of developing branding for myself, and I did a lot of that from the get-go, and it was helpful. And now I'm still doing it, but it's much more honed and professional and sharp looking, I think. I've learned a lot from last
time. I think so too. Yeah. And I must have met you not too long after you quit your day job, because if it was about 5 years ago, that must have been when I met you. And so when did you first, what year was the first Continuum? That's when I met you, but I had seen your art hanging at different shows before that. So I kind of put the face to the art when I met you at Continuum, because I had already seen your art around town. So what year was that? Yeah.
That was the second Continuum that we met. It was 2015.
Okay, so what year did the company get sold and you ended that job?
That was April of 2014.
Okay. So you had a plan in place. You were ready to hit the ground running. You weren't leaving that job and then job hunting for another corporate job or anything.
No. I was solid in my plan, and I knew what I was doing at this point, and I was full steam ahead. So with that said, I had applied for Art Rock at the Armory, and that was
Is that the same thing as Stitch Rock, or no?
It is the same founder, Amanda Linton. She had done Art Rock a couple years at the Armory. They did stop doing it. It was just a huge undertaking, as I understand it to be. But
yeah, I bet
with Mm-hmm. But with that said, that show is where I met Nicole Hickey.
Oh, okay. And she was already at the Cultural Council?
She's, I think, going on 7 or 8 years now at the Cultural Council.
Oh, okay.
She was already the curator there, and she was scouting out artists in Palm Beach County that maybe she hadn't seen. And she approached me, and I gave her my card, and we talked, and she invited me to show at Council that fall in the repurposed, re-seen show. And that was, I want to say it opened in August of 2014.
Okay, and that was a group show, so how many pieces did you have there?
Five.
Oh, great.
I know, I was surprised.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know much, and I had asked her, I said, what are you looking for, a piece or two? And she goes, no, I need about five or six, preferably nothing that's been shown before. And I said, oh, crap, because I had just done a solo show of almost my entire body of work at South Shores, the restaurant. And
okay.
In the meantime, I skipped over a major part in that winter. I had gone into Jerry's while I was still working and was playing around with different mediums, and Craig McGinnis was working there at the time, and he actually, the day that I met him, and we started talking, and he told me I need to go down and introduce myself to Rolando, who runs the Boynton Beach Art District. So I came down here and introduced myself to him, and we got talking, and he's like, I really like your work. And we just established a connection at that point in time, and I was visiting the district and the art walks. I did a couple of them back then in between. There were a few things. I was just trying to keep myself active and network.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to network, and the more people I was meeting, I liked them. We had a similar sense of what we want, and talking to
I love the artist scene here. They're very encouraging, they're very giving, and they're fun.
Yes, and community. Yeah. I found my mm-hmm. group. I felt like, oh my God.
That's great.
I feel like this is where I belong. There was definitely mm-hmm. a sense of belonging and a sense of encouragement and mutual encouragement and sharing of resources and, hey, where do you get this? Oh, great. How did you do that? And I love to share information. Nobody's ever going to have the same work you do. It's like,
no.
I don't have.
Yeah.
Right. Not at all. And I always like to say that because there are a lot of people who are worried about it. I'm like, you know what? If you're confident in your work, you don't have to worry about that.
Right. The benefits are going to outweigh any copy that someone might do. Right.
Absolutely. And it's great, you know. So I did that summer. I was like, oh my God, I got to do five brand new pieces. So I did. It was crazy, but I was so thankful that she gave me that challenge because I realized, one, I'm still the same. I love to work under pressure, and I
mm-hmm.
love deadline, and I love that those last minute pieces always come out the best. I don't know why. So I was really catalyzed internally by this show, and I want to say two of the pieces from that show are hanging at Centro also. Awakening, which was my first all floral piece.
And all right.
That is hanging up there, and then Luau, which is a smaller version in different colors of the same idea, that's also hanging there. And I had a couple more pieces. I can't remember exactly. It feels like so long ago. But it's not. It's only 4 years ago.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
The last 4 years have been a whirlwind.
I know. You know, when you're giving me an actual date and saying, I really started this 4 or 5 years ago, I'm just shocked because I've seen how much you've done, and I've seen your style develop and change over that time period too. It's not, you haven't been doing the same thing for 5 years. So, you know, to me, that's what makes a great artist, someone who can keep going and evolving and brave enough to try new things. Because you can be successful and sell a lot of things or be in a lot of shows, and yet you still want to keep changing. And so it's daring to change because you wonder, you know, will they like the new stuff? Yeah.
Oh, I don't. But that's the thing. I don't think anyone should ever worry about that, because whatever it, if you like it, someone else is bound to like it. This is, you know, that's
right.
How I feel. If you feel a connection mm-hmm. to your work, we're going to see that, especially mm-hmm. when they're speaking to you. They're going to see
yeah.
and feel a part of you and a sense of you in the work.
Right, right. So how long, the show at the Five Pieces at the Cultural Council, was it like a 3-month show? How long was it there?
I want to say it was 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. And did you have to, so she approached you and you gave her your business card. Did you still have to apply and show her some photos of pieces, or were you in based on what she saw at the Art Rock show?
Yes. It
okay.
was invitation.
Okay. Okay.
But
so
she wanted to see some progress pieces along the way, and I did show them to her and she loved them. So it kept me kind of moving forward. And
yeah. And that probably wasn't so much her approving your content or your subject. It was probably just her making sure that, yeah, you're on this and you're actually painting and you're not going to call me a week before the show and say, oops, I didn't finish. I didn't do this.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she kind of understood that I was on the same page professionally speaking, and that, you know, mm-hmm. I definitely have follow through in that, because I was keeping in touch with her and giving her mm-hmm. Thoughts on this, because I had questions. This was my first real show. I was nervous. So I had a lot of questions, and I wanted her to know, you know, what I was doing, and is this along the lines, and she was extremely encouraging. And we developed an amazing bond and friendship through the process, and
mm-hmm.
she taught me a lot of great things that I still adhere to. A lot of artists don't like the idea of adhering to these things, but it's what's going to help you grow, you know, and I do.
Like what kind of things?
You have to work every day.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah.
You have to work every day. I'm not saying... But you have to love working every day on it. You have to really,
right.
this is what you want to do. It takes a lot of heart and hustle, and you have to really engage in your work, not worry about what everybody else wants, but also notice the feedback and what they love and do a little more of that. It's what you're doing anyway that you like doing. Don't paint for
right.
other people, because that's going to end up being what you have to paint. So I suggest you start your body of work with something you really love doing, because in order to really brand yourself and your work, you have to have a consistent body of work. And that's something I've always known. You know, a lot of artists don't talk about that, but that's something that you learn in art school. There's a lot of things they don't teach you out in the world that you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're not just putting your work in one show either. You've got it at multiple places. So you can't rely on having 5 great pieces and 5 great pieces only, because while you
right.
have things at the Cultural Council, you have things at Cafe Centro or you know, other
yeah.
other locations throughout. Right. So you've got to just keep developing and producing
and
more and more pieces.
And networking. And letting people
right.
see your work. Yeah, and letting people
yeah.
know
yeah.
getting out there
mm-hmm.
and getting a name and building a name.
Yep.
It's just like any business would have to do
yeah.
in terms of
right.
getting themselves out there. And but I think branding is really important. It's definitely what the times right now society relates to. They're drawn to something
yes.
that's very
yeah.
branded. And
well, you need to make it easy for them. Yeah, you can't make it difficult for somebody to find out where you are or who you are. You
right.
need to use the consistent message and get that message everywhere.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So you just did a solo show at the Cornell Museum. That was fabulous. How is it a different experience when you knew that it was an entire room that you had to fill and there weren't going to be other artists' work in that room with you. How did that feel different to you in the planning stage and then in the execution?
Oh, it's harrowing.
It's a lot of art. How many pieces did you have in there?
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of preparation. Yeah. I started preparing 8 months in advance.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In part because I wanted to challenge myself. This is a thing that I feel I have to do. It's not every artist does this, but for me, it was really important that I had predominantly new work because I needed to transition. I needed to work harder to get to another level for me personally, totally internal goals that I had for myself. So a lot of times, in the past 5 years, I found when I'm feeling that sense, that's when someone approaches me and says, hey, how about you do this crazy thing? And I'm like, absolutely. And then I go, oh, my God. And I pass.
Well, you figure it out later, but you say absolutely first.
Always. I always do. Because you're always going to gain some amazing skill from that. And really, I'll tell you something that I've done every year. And I always recommend this. Like, I know people believe in the whole New Year's resolutions, but I don't do that. At the end of the year, I sit down and I write down every show, every accomplishment. I update my resume, too, while I'm doing this. And I think about all the things that I love that came out of that. And in that process, I start to think about what are the next things that I need to do? What can I do that's going to further challenge myself? Never did I think that I would be invited to have my first museum solo show. I was shocked. I was beyond honored because I love that space, and I had such a great...
Oh, it's beautiful.
Guard. Yeah, for the curators there and the shows that they put on. I was visiting every show there just because I was wowed, and I loved the space. So it was, you know, when Maruska approached me, she asked if I could possibly, would I want to? I said, want to? I said, completely so flattered and honored. I would absolutely love to. And so... But in that, I felt an obligation to myself to really step out of my comfort zone and do some pieces that were powerful. And more than
and I, you succeeded. Yeah. They were so good. You've always worked in really large pieces. The one with the shadowing, the shadow right when you walk in the door on the left. How large was that one?
That's 8 foot by 4 foot.
8 foot by 4 foot. Okay. But that wasn't new to you because you've done things that were quite large in the past. So the size couldn't have made you nervous, but it was just that you were trying something new, just doing a different style or a different technique. Yeah.
I had never done a piece that large on canvas before. I had done murals that were larger, but that's completely different. You know, a mural, the surface, depending on what you're working on, I don't believe you're as intricate as you would be because you're stepping back and looking at a mural. You don't have to be as precise with a very large mural or you'd take forever
and
to
as detailed.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
The detail on the canvas was just physically hard to work around, you know? At one point, I had on two easels, and at one point I had to take it off and put it between two tables so that I could work flat and really make sure every detail was where it should be. I wanted it to be precise and meticulous. So that piece took a while. I was working on a lot of other stuff in between, so I can't say all told because I worked on it the entire time, you know?
Right. Really, you can't say how many hours it took.
Right. I really worked on a lot of pieces. I do that. I work on at least 5 or 6 projects simultaneously.
Okay.
So I don't get bored, and so I have a lot of things that are being finished up. A lot of them right now I'm working on... some 6x6s for the Cornell show, which everyone should get involved in. It's not due, I think, until the end of June, and it's a fundraiser for them. So that's always good to get involved in.
Oh, 6-inch by 6-inch, the small one.
Yeah.
Right. I was picturing 6-foot by 6-foot because we were just talking large. And then I thought, wait a second. No, no. Everybody's not going to get involved with something that's 6-foot by 6-foot.
No. It's 6-inch by 6-inch.
I got you. Right.
Yeah, and it's fun. And then they have the sale at the end of July, and basically everything is $30. So you can go grab a piece from one of your favorite artists for $30.
Oh, that's nice.
And
everyone
gets involved in it, and it's so fun.
I bet. Yeah.
For the same pieces. I'm working on a few for that, and I'm working on a couple new mandalas, some summer-themed mandalas.
Very nice.
Really reminiscent and nostalgic to, you know, summers, and a lot of kids-like things involved in it.
That's nice.
Ice pops,
yeah.
And my work is definitely getting more fun and loose in terms of what I include in it, and I'm loving it more for that.
That's great.
Everything kind of need it right now.
Yeah, I like the birds that you added in one of your mandalas.
Yes,
I thought that was
the birds
very nice.
Are coming back. The birds are going to be in a lot of stuff through the next couple pieces that I'm doing, and then I have another show lined up at Council for September that I'll be showing in. So that
was great. Oh, good.
That's what's up next.
Are you applying for any shows, or is it always people coming to you, inviting you?
It's mixed. I still apply
it's
to
mixed.
Shows.
Yeah, okay.
I have to say, it's been invitational for the big shows, but I'm still applying to shows. I applied to doing a show down in Lauderdale next week for the month of June at a place called 2End, and a bunch of great artists from the art surf community and Baca, and a lot of those kids are down there doing some great stuff too. So it's nice to get, you know, a little bit out of Palm Beach County every now and again.
Yeah. Can I talk about your studio real quick? You mentioned before that you got involved with the Boynton Beach Art District just in showing your work, but now you actually have a studio there. So what was your reason for moving out of your dining room or whatever room that was in your house?
That's what it was.
That's what it was.
And now
you're in a free... You're in your own space where you can just really spread out and do a lot of different things. So what brought that on? And did you think about it for a long time before you finally made the move?
Yes. I've been thinking about it for a while.
And
the summer before I moved into the Boynton Beach Art District, I entered a call to install at the Cultural Council. And I proposed my first installation, because that was on my list of to-dos that year. I had never done an art installation. I figured this was a good way to really see. It's like a small-scale solo show. So I'm really glad that I did it, because it prepared me for the major amount of work that goes into an installation and any solo show like that. It's a lot of work, but I was ready to do it, and that was the record I visited.
Right. Okay. So describe what you did with the record albums.
Well, I was a DJ years ago, and mostly for fun.
Didn't know that.
In the 90s, mostly for fun, and I still had my turntables. And I kept looking at them. I'm like, what am I saving these for? And I was looking at album covers and thinking about art in relation, and album covers used to be a thing back in the day. The art was
art in their own right.
And you would sit and look at the record album, and I don't know, I was just kind of feeling nostalgic for it, because as a kid I always had a record player in my room.
And
old 45, and I really wanted to somehow hone in on that, and I didn't know what I was going to do, but I started taking some of my old albums and incorporating my own art on top of them, but including the original artwork of the album.
And I just, so painting on the album and leaving some of it exposed, right?
Yeah. But okay. I wanted to somehow make it interactive. So I would include the album itself inside. And basically I did 50 of them. And I asked Mike Kupolis, who is my studio mate, to help me fabricate frames, because frames were ridiculously expensive.
Always.
We worked about a month. Yeah, for 50, that would have, I don't even know.
Right.
It was $1,200. I said, no way. So we went to Home Depot and we specced out, he taught me everything, how to spec out wood. He taught me how to do all of it. We basically built all of the frames from scratch, and they were amazing. And
they were.
Thanks, but I owe it all to him. I really had no idea what I was doing. It was an assembly line, but we figured it out. And thank God we knew what he was doing. And we temporarily did a Velcro mount on the frame so that the album could actually be taken off and played. With the artwork.
Oh, great.
Right. So in that I said, okay, I hope my turntable still works. I haven't, you know, even checked it out. We put it together. Everything worked. It was a shock. And we put some headphones out so that people could listen to the records. And we had a Creative Records. It was awesome. I was
really happy.
With it. It was probably one of my favorite projects to do. And I was just really happy with the results. And I was really glad that they, you know, took on the challenge, because I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I really didn't know what I was doing, and they needed a proposal. So you know what? One of the things, and this is what I always try to tell, don't be afraid to ask questions. I really think, especially if you're applying something, you should reach out if you don't know. Reach out to the place that is hosting the call and say, you know, I just have some questions. What exactly are you looking for? What do you want for this show? And, I mean, in terms of the proposal, what are you looking to see in the proposal? What are you looking to, you know, glean from this? What do you want from me? That's how you learn, because, you
know. Yeah, that's great.
And she said, well, thank you. A lot of people are appreciative when you ask that, because if you're taking the time to do that, you're going to take the time to put it into the proposal, because you want to make the person who's judging it understand on what they're looking for. Then they'll be able to better, I have an idea. So I really think that that's important. You learn as you go. You know, we don't know.
Yeah, so you were in the studio, you were in your new studio. How many square foot footage do you have?
Oh,
do you recall?
I want to say it's a little over 1,000.
Okay, and so you have half of that?
I have half
it's
of
a thousand.
It.
Okay, so
I tend to encroach.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Right. So your studio partner was the one who was helping you make the frames, and so obviously you spread out all the way into his space, just making 50 frames all over the place. And
I hadn't moved in yet. They were using the space that I'm in as storage, and Rolando really wanted to rent it out. So I said, you know what? It's time. And I'm so glad that I did it, because having a brick and mortar space changes everything.
What is that?
It allowed other people to see my work. It allowed people
you can make appointments and
having a space to meet your clients in for commissions has been super helpful. If people want to come by and buy something, I mean, I try to keep regular hours just because I'm here working a lot, but you know, it's not easy to keep a 9-to-5 schedule like that as an artist. I'll say this, I don't believe in wait for inspiration. There's no such thing as that. Go to work.
Go
to work, you know what I mean? Especially the go on a path and you have your style honed. I don't think that's as difficult as in the beginning, but I think just continuing every day, you develop good habits in your work modes, and you know what to do and how to keep yourself on schedule, because you have things to get done.
Right. Yeah. And so you're by entering, by applying for shows and by taking the opportunities when people offer you shows, is you're giving yourself built-in deadlines all the time.
Absolutely.
So that you can say, okay, I know for show A, I have to get 5 pieces done by June 1st, and for show B, I have to get 3 more done by July 1st, and so you're just calendaring it out and keeping yourself going. And then when you have so-called downtime, you probably don't have that much downtime, but that's when you can look at doing other things. Like I know you're doing you're going to do a demo or lecture with one of the paint brands that you use. So you're doing other little things too, and figuring out what's my next step.
It's all kinds of evolving on its own. I really love doing the demos for Jerry's in Deerfield. I have one coming up June 16th. They're always at 10:30 in the morning and 1. I love Lucas Krill studio paint. It's just a brand that I believe in, and so I've gotten to do demos with their product and show people how I use them and some little tips and tricks. And there's a lot of times there's fledgling artists that are really trying to get some ideas of what to do next. They have no information. They don't know. And I give them art calls that are out and things like that too. So there's a lot more to it that I've been doing, and I'm really enjoying that. I like sharing anything that's going to help artists really put it together in a way that they can try to make some money and earn a living and move forward and have confidence, you know, in their work.
Well, you're passing on that experience that you have and the experience of community, which is what really helped you at the very beginning to start meeting other artists.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it's important to do that.
Yep, yeah. Well, is there anything else that we have not talked about that you would like to talk about? You talked about you have some upcoming shows, so at all times you look at your calendar and you have things ahead of you. That's great.
I try to do that. I try to make sure that I have things booked in advance. It's funny, this summer I said, I'm going to do nothing after that show. I don't think I was in the studio for 3 weeks, and I was angry. I said, I have to go work. So I can't do it. I can't, at this point, it's so much a part of my life. It is my, you know?
That's great.
It's what soothes me, too. You know, it's what keeps my head straight. It's what makes me content.
And you're very fortunate that you found that, because not everybody does. And everyone should have something that soothes them, something that they can work on for 10 hours in one day and not even realize that the time went by because they're loving it so much.
I beg for 10 hours straight to work on something.
Well, yeah. right. Darn, I have to pick up another kid from school. Jeez.
Exactly.
Right, but with the studio now, you can leave everything set up, and you can shut the door to the studio and then go pick up the kids or go home and make dinner or whatever it is you need to do
instead of having it
in the home. Yeah.
Yes. Well, no, I love having a home studio also. So right now I'm in transition.
Right. So even though you moved into the big studio that was outside, you still had a place in your home, so you can. I bet you're still doing it at odd hours at your home. You know, when the kids are sleeping or. That's good.
Yeah, I always needed that just because I like to work at night, especially if it's a large piece and I can do a little bit and really look at it and get new ideas. I mean, the mandalas take a time and thought process. You're trying to balance.
Yeah, they're intricate. Yeah, and there's math involved. You can't do that lightheartedly because you can't mess it up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, I'll post some pictures in my show notes and post some links to some of the other things we talked about. But this has been great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much. All right. Bye bye.
I hope you enjoyed listening to Nicole Galluccio. Take a minute to look at her artwork in the show notes. I think you'll love her vibrant paintings. You can see more on her Facebook page and Instagram, and I'll put those links in the show notes. But here are my takeaways from this episode. Number one, look for calls to artists so that you can apply to shows at galleries, museums, or shops. Number two, seek out live painting opportunities. You will get practice public speaking, you'll gain confidence, and you'll receive feedback from the public. Number three, paint every day. You'll get more efficient and you'll get to know your products better. Number four, make your own opportunities by meeting other artists and visiting galleries to see what is out there. Number five, as Nicole says, say yes to everything, even if it's outside of your comfort level. Number six, at the end of the year, update your resume and list out what you did last year. And number seven, then take a moment to make goals for the coming year. What art project have you been dying to do? What is something that will challenge you? In my mini business episode that I'll be posting on Friday, I'll be talking more about how to update your resume and CV and make plans for the coming year. Be sure to give that a listen. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out Nicole Galluccio's artwork. I'm Suzanne Redman, and this has been the Left Brain Artist Podcast.